study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, go down to verse number 16 of chapter 3. All Scripture, that word of truth, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What is the purpose for all this? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now this morning we want to take another step. Last week we said we need to study. The benefit of study is that we'd be prepared to do all the things that God wants us to do. But this morning I want to take just a few moments to go over some things that would be basic to Bible study. What does the Bible say about Bible study, and what should we know so that we are actually studying the Bible? Five simple tools to start with. Five simple tools for Bible study. Number one, the Bible. You know you've really gotten a wise preacher when you can come up with something that profound. The Bible. Now, we're going to study the Bible, but let me tell you, it's not always so clear in the minds of people. People will pick up a biography, maybe a Christian biography. And as you read that biography, you find out that their life was changed by the Bible. And some people say, you know, that's good enough. They maybe watch a movie about somebody's life that was changed by the Bible. But those things aren't Bible study. Now, the Bible may be in them. Some of the Bible may impact you. But Bible study requires a Bible. And let me just, this is maybe simple too, but Bible study is not simply reading the Bible. It is study when we make a diligent effort to understand more than what is cursory or at the surface. So we can take our Bible every morning and we can read a chapter. It's a good start. We could read two chapters, three chapters, four chapters, five chapters, one verse. But that isn't Bible study until we take that verse, that chapter, those couple of chapters, and begin to take some real effort into understanding what is there that God wants us to know. Technically then, and I don't say this again to criticize the people who have made these books, they can be and have been helpful to many, but technically it's not Bible study to read a devotional book. Someone else has already done the Bible study. See, we're supposed to study. Now, I don't care, and I encourage you too, if you've got a good Bible study book that somebody has written, read it. Learn from it. But then you need to take the Bible, and you need to get into it, and you need to study it, even as you might study anything else. To study the Bible, you must have a Bible, because the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of you have ever read a book and you got partway through the book and you said, you know, I don't agree with everything in there? Sometimes we were told, it's like eating a watermelon when you read anybody's commentary on the Bible or anything else. You take all the sweet good stuff and then you spit out the seeds. There's some things that just don't fit with what the Bible says. So sometimes we rightly divide someone else's writings and we separate out the bad and we keep the good. That's fine, but we need to rightly divide this book. Guess what? There isn't going to be anything you can pick out. There isn't going to be any seeds in here. Isn't that wonderful? Never have to worry when I tell my children to read their Bibles that they're going to come across something that I don't agree with. You know why? Because I agree with God. What God says is good. Number one, the Bible. Number two, the Spirit. Simple, five simple Bible study tools. Number one, the Bible. Number two, the Spirit. This book is unlike any other book. It cannot be understood with the mind alone. This is a spiritual book. Jesus said this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. All right, so Jesus said, what I'm speaking to you is Spirit. It is spiritual. It is from God, and it can do something in you that no other words can do. This book is not like any other. It is a spiritual book. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul was writing to that group of believers. And Paul often in the books that he wrote would tell the people that he was writing to what he prayed for them. He wanted them to know what it was he was burdened about for them. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul prayed this, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, why would he say spiritual understanding and not just simply say that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will with understanding? Because there is a spiritual understanding and there is a carnal understanding. You and I can take this book, and any old lost person can read this, and you know what? They're going to find some things in here that they can agree with. Do you know that? There are some things that make sense in here. There are some things that make sense to my logic in here. But I can't study this book with logic and reason alone. When I study this book, I need the spiritual understanding that comes from where? The Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God, the Bible says, Jesus said, and when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Where's the truth? It's in here. What's in here? The words of God. What are the words of God? They are spirit. They are life. So the Spirit of God helps us to understand the spiritual truth that is within the pages of this book. So then this makes sense. If you're going to study the Bible and gain from it, you must be a child of God or born again. That is, in order for you to gain the benefit that this book has, you need the Spirit of God. Now, a lost person only has access, as it were, to the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God comes to convict him of his sin. He has limited understanding of what truths are here as the Spirit of God comes and convicts him and opens up his understanding, and he's got to respond to that. If he says no, the rest of the book is closed. If he says yes to the Spirit of God, what does the Spirit of God do? He opens up the rest of the pages of this book because it is a spiritual book. You must be born again. Number one, the Bible. Number two, the Spirit. Number three, humility. Simple Bible study tools. I thought you were going to say concordance. No, no. We need... In order, what is the Spirit going to do? He will guide you into all truth. Anybody know what it is to have a guide? Is there another word that you could come up with for a guide? If you were to take a tour and you had a tour guide, anybody? A leader. All right, so the Spirit of God, the Bible says, is going to lead you into all truth. So if you're going to be led, you're going to need some humility as the Spirit of God does that. The Spirit of God wants to take the Bible and He wants to direct our lives. That requires a simple humility that is willing to change direction as the Word of God says so. When the Spirit of God says, let's go this way, you say, all right. Then he says, I want you to go this way. He says, no, I'd like to just be going this way. You need humility. Sometimes our lives are going completely opposite. And he said, now turn around and go that way. And unless we approach the Bible with humility, what we are going to do is we're going to say, you know what? I don't need that part. Because the Spirit of God is going to say, this is true. You're going to say, but I don't want to do that because of pride. And you're going to start marking out sections of your Bible. Oh, I don't imagine anybody in here is going to take a pen and actually scribble it out. But as you read over it, you're going to become callous. Because pride resists the working of God. God, by His Spirit, wants to lead us. If He's going to lead us, we need to be humble to receive it. Number four, we have number one, the Bible. Number two, the Spirit. Number three, humility. Number four, you're going to need some time. You're going to need the tool of time. Last week we said, based on 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that studieth work. And I don't know any of you that ever had a job that went into work, put your time card in, pulled it out, put your time card back in, and expected a paycheck without giving 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours of time to the work the company had, correct? You actually give them some time if they're going to pay you, if you're going to get any results of it. The Bible says this is work. So then we're going to have to, if it's work, it's going to take some time. That means we're going to have some time in our day that we give to study. One of the words that goes with study is the word to meditate. Psalm 1 says that the man that is prosperous or benefits from God is a man who meditates. Well, what does it mean to meditate? I don't mean yoga. I don't mean emptying your head. Meditation says, here is a truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So throughout the day, I am thinking on these words, study and approve. And I'm meditating on that all day long. I'm giving some time to it. I'm working on those words. And as I do that, as I quote them, as I read them off of a page, maybe where I've written them on a card and stuck them in my pocket, as I think on them, the Spirit of God rushes in and says, hey, you know what this means for you to do? And you say, what? And he says, open your Bible. I'm ready to teach you. You say, okay. You open your Bible and you begin to read some more on those areas, and God begins to connect verses in the Bible that begin to show you what He wants for you. But it takes time. The Bible, the Spirit, humility, time, and then one that's a little easier, a dictionary. Now, why do I say a dictionary? Well, the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly understanding the words that are in the text. There are some words that you're going to come across and you're going to say, I don't know what that word means. You read a proverb sometimes, you say, I think I know what that means, and you look up the word and you say, oh, that's not exactly what I thought it meant. And so you can't rightly divide until you rightly know the words. Now, I hope you understand this, but this is the position that we take as we look at the Bible. We don't need a new translation of the Bible just because some of the words don't make sense to me. What I need is a rebirth of education to know the language that is my national language. There are many people who say, I can't understand this. When this book was written, I'm not going to go into a lengthy study. We won't take a long rabbit trail. But when this book was written and early on, in the use of our country, this was a third grade reader. This was third grade reading level. If you want to ask a senior in high school to stand up and read five verses plainly, and it's not likely to happen. Why? It's not because this has gotten harder, but we have spent less and less time on the education of our people. God has done the work of preserving it and keeping it pure for us. Don't you think we should take a little bit of effort to understand and know the words that are in it? We should. We should. We should honor and uplift. And you know what? I find it funny. Maybe sad is better, but humorous at the least. Many of the words that are difficult in here can be learned and then they're no longer difficult, right? And if you take another translation, many times they haven't made the words any easier. Sometimes they've even picked words that are harder. That doesn't make any sense. Now, surely these are simple tools. There are lots more tools that could be used. These are basic tools that I think we should use. Now, let's look back at the text that brought us to this matter of study. And the Bible says, these three verses, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16 of chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What are we putting diligent effort into understanding? Now, we said this is the Word of God. It is God's Word to us. It is the Bible. We are to rightly divide it or diligently learn from it. But what are we supposed to be learning? You know, it matters. It matters what it is I'm looking for when I open up the Bible. Certain truth from God, based on verse 16 and 17, These truths, certain truths, are what God uses to prepare us to do His work. So I could find lots of things in here. I could count the number of periods on page 1036 of my Bible and say, I have studied my Bible today, but what good would it do me? I could write down every time that the word was listed on a page, but what good would it do me? All right, so God says here, verse 16, here's what the Word of God is profitable for. So these are some things we should be looking for. So when I get my notebook out with my Bible and I'm sitting down and I'm writing down some notes, I should be finding these things, and they then can prepare me to do the work of God. Now let me ask you, if God has some things specifically that He wants us to learn, and those things prepare us to do all that He wants us to do, if we ignore some of these things, what's going to happen over here with the doing? I'm not going to be as prepared. It would be like me going to college, going to half of my classes, and skipping out on the other half. That means I'm only going to have half the training when I graduate, if I can graduate at all. Right? So then if God says, here's what I want you to learn, and I don't learn that, I spend my time on something else, then when God says, go serve me, I still say, God, I'm not prepared. Why? Well, because I didn't use the tools that He told me the Bible would use in my life to prepare me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, gives us these things that God uses to equip us. Number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, correction. Number four, instruction. Our Bible study should be diligent to find these things and understand them. Without all four, we're going to be partly prepared, but not fully prepared. What do we need to understand? Number one, doctrine. Doctrine is very simply this. It is teaching. And it is the teaching that God has in the Bible of what is right. So when I read the Bible, here's an example. I'm reading the Bible, and the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Right? I understand as I read that God is a God of truth. I am supposed to tell the truth. That's doctrine. That's doctrine. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go to a church and all I do is talk about doctrine. If you don't want to go to a church that talks about doctrine, they're not going to use this book. Because doctrine is this, teaching. When God teaches us, He is doctrinate. Ooh, let's use that word. Indoctrination. What is that? That's when somebody takes something and buries it into the head of young people or adults and changes the way they think. That's what we're doing. We're taking doctrine and we're trying to put it in. Indoctrination. All right. Number two, reproof. What is that? That is the conviction of what we have done that is wrong. So I read the Bible and it tells me what I should do. Then as I'm reading the Bible, sometimes it tells me what I should not have done. I read over that same verse, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And while I'm reading that, the Spirit of God says, you know what you said to that man next door yesterday? Yes, Lord. And the Spirit of God begins to convince, that's what the word conviction means, the Spirit of God begins to convince me that I am not in line with Him. So doctrine tells me the right path I should be on. Reproof tells me where I have gotten off of that path. Number three, correction. It's when God seeks to turn us to that right path again. I tell my children what is right. Or at least I try to. I think I'm telling them what's right. All right, so I tell my children what is right. Then I come into the room or outside where they are and I find that they have not done what is right. So I reprove them. I tell them that they have not. I correct them, but I've got to not only just tell them that they're wrong, I've got to bring them back to the right path. Right? You have the right path, you have the wrong path. If I'm not on the right path, I've got to have somebody take me back to that right path. And the Word of God will do that. Many, many times Christians find themselves in a place where they have done wrong. And the burden of guilt sits so heavy on them, testimony of believers, this is not made up, I got so far into sin, I didn't know how to go back. I got so far down the path, I didn't didn't think there was any way back. And so I just continued on the path that I was on. Because you know what? Sometimes it's easier to just continue to slide down a hill than it is to try to go back up the hill. So we're on the right path. That's great. Got the doctrine. We've gone off the path. That is, God will now reprove us. But God is so gracious. He doesn't just tell us we're wrong. He then teaches us with this same book how to get from the wrong path back to the right path. And that is the gracious love and mercy of God. But then he doesn't just do that. This is great. This is what the Word of God is. Teaching what's right, telling us when we're wrong, getting us back on the right path, and then instruction in righteousness is when God helps us stay on the path. Isn't that good? How many of us like to fall off the path that is the right path? Well, we shouldn't. So what do we need? This book, this wonderful spiritual book, not only tells us the right path to be on, but how to stay on the right path. For instance, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall. All right, so God has given us in one little section of the scriptures one of the ways we can stay on the right path. Trust what God says. You know, I have sometimes with my parents thought that they weren't so sure, that they didn't know as much as maybe they did. And so when I didn't trust them, I took a path different than they did. And that doesn't work so well. Sometimes believers look and say, I can't do this, or that doesn't seem right, and so they ignore what God says. When you do that, you end up on the wrong path. So God says, if you want to stay on the right path, simply trust me. Listen to my word, follow what I tell you, and you will be on the right path. It is these four things that God's word uses to equip us for all good works. So then, let me encourage you with a very simple approach to studying the Bible, three things that I think you should do every day. Number one, clear time in your schedule. Clear time in your daily schedule to read the Bible. Now, can we say, now, I know this. Pastor, I am so busy. I don't have time. I'm not asking you to spend 3 or 4 hours. I'm asking you to study. How long does it take to study? I don't know. Until the Spirit of God breaks through. You take the Word of God and you read it and you say, I don't understand this, and you begin to ask God to show you in His Word. Does it have to take an hour? Not necessarily. Could it take an hour? Sure it could. I don't know the amount of time. What it matters here is the effort that's being put in to understand the specific things God wants. Now, if I had been out there trying to put the plumbing together, I imagine because I tried doing some plumbing at my house, my son watched me, and all I was doing, I had leaks for probably 2 hours that I was trying to get rid of. All right, does it have to take 2 hours? Well, after working with Junior, no. It doesn't have to take 2 hours. But the end result was what we were after. If it takes you longer to get the end result, give it. But the result is I've got to better understand the Bible when I'm done than I did when I sat down. And when I get up, I should know either the doctrine, the correction, the reproof, or the instruction in righteousness that God wants me to have for today. Now, every day I don't have to wake up and have God spank me. Some days I get up, and I was doing right when I went to bed, and I'm doing right when I get up. God simply says, now keep on the path. And I learn how to stay on that path, and I keep going. Not every time do I open up, am I going to be in need of all four, but I should be looking for all four, because that is how God prepares me. Number one, clear out time out of your schedule. Now, could we really say we're really that busy if we look at all the things that we give time to? You know, I think a lot of people spend differing amounts of time on, some people like to read a newspaper. Some people like to read novels and other things. Some people like to watch TV. Some people have hobbies. Some people like to spend time with family members. I understand all these things. But can we really say that all those things are of greater importance to the child of God than this book is? That we can't schedule time to work at the study Number one, you're going to schedule some time. Number two, since it's spiritual, you're going to pray. So I set aside some time. When I get to that time, I stop before I begin, and I pray. What am I praying for? I'm praying for my car, and I'm praying. No. This isn't your prayer time. This is your prayer before you study. This is, God, I'm about to open up a spiritual book that has spiritual words in it. I need your spirit to teach me. I need to better understand this thing. And if there's sin, make some confession of that first. Why? Because if you're broken in your fellowship with God, how's the Spirit of God going to talk to you? Make sense? It doesn't work very well. So you make some time, you pray, and then you take a purposeful approach. How many of you, alright, I'll just raise my hand, you just sit there. I have opened my Bible before with no purpose to it. Now, I don't mean that there wasn't purpose, I didn't want to know something, but I didn't take a purposed approach to the Bible. I was just, you know, sometimes you just pick it up and you just start reading and you hope God does something, but you're not really sure what you're looking for, what you're hoping for. I've done that, and you know what I get most of the time? Not quite so much, because there's no purpose to it. We need to pay attention. Paul told Timothy, take heed to the doctrine. What does it mean to take heed? It means pay attention. When you read, have you ever read the Bible and you get partway through and you don't know how many of the verses you've actually read? Have you ever driven somewhere and you got 3 miles down the road and you can't remember seeing those last 3 miles? Okay, the same thing happens to me sometimes, when I read the Bible. I don't have a purpose paying attention approach, and when I sit down, I've got so many other things on my mind. I've read through 2 chapters, well, I think I have, my eyes went over all those words, but I get to the end of it, I go, I don't remember that being in there. You know, somebody asked me what I just read, I couldn't tell them. Why not? I wasn't paying attention. Sometimes I get to talk, and my kids are real helpful to me. I love having them in the car with me. I'll get to talking with my wife, and just, you know, they're doing that bypass over here, and the road goes from 55 back down to 40, there by where that bypass starts. Well, I got to talking to my wife the other day, and I hadn't been out that way a whole lot, paying attention to it. Well, I'm driving along, and my son says, Daddy, I said, yes, I think it's supposed to be 40 right here. Well, I was still just, I don't know why, I was talking to my wife. I got busy paying attention to something that wasn't my main responsibility. What's my main responsibility when I'm behind the wheel? Paying attention to the road, to my car. And so my child says to me, Daddy, I think, oh, you're right. I'm sure, I do remember, now that you mention it, I remember, I think I saw a sign. Sometimes we do that with God. God, I'm going to read your word because I know it's important, but I'm not going to pay a lot of attention because I've got this, and this to do today. If we want to study it, we're going to have to set aside time, pray that God helps us, and then as we read it, we're going to have to pay attention to the words that are there. God wants to prepare us to be useful tools for His service. So then, what are we looking for? We go into the Bible looking for what God says is there. If you go out into a garden and somebody says, would you go pick some peas for me? And you go out there looking for corn, and you go out there looking for tomatoes, and you come back and say, you know, I couldn't find any corn, I couldn't find any tomatoes. I got nothing today. The problem is you went looking for the wrong thing, correct? You were supposed to go looking for peas. So then we need to go looking for what is right, what is wrong in our life. How am I going to get it right, and how am I going to keep it right? I'm going to look for the doctrine, the reproof, the correction, and the instruction in righteousness. Now, I want to give you just an outline of how you could do that. All right, there are lots of different ways you can do that, but sometimes having an acrostic helps you. And so if it would, I give it to you. If you already have a way to do that, I just encourage you to get back to doing it. These are sometimes called, they're glasses, but they're sometimes called spectacles. So if we want to see what's in God's Word, someone has quaintly put together an acrostic, specs, S-P-E-C-S, like spectacles. The first letter S is I'm looking for something special that God reveals about Himself. Now, why is that? That doesn't sound like any of the 4 things I just said. Why am I looking for something special God reveals about Himself? Well, number one, the Bible is a book about God. But God's character is the foundation for everything that is right. So if I want to know what's right to do, if I know the character of God, I will know what is right. So as God reveals himself to me, something special God reveals about himself, I'll know what's right. And guess what then? God's character also then shines a light on what is wrong. If I can see who God is and what is right, then as I'm looking at God, everything that isn't that is wrong. Right? If it's not lined up with God, then that falls into the category of sin and needs to be changed in my life. So first, I look for special revelation about God to me. What does God say about himself? Letter P, a promise to claim. S, something special about God. P, a promise that I can claim. God's promises, when we believe them, bring God's grace into our lives so that we can have power to obey. God's promises are the things that keep us on the right path. God's promises are sometimes the things that move us from the wrong path back to the right path. When I find a promise of God that he is my healer, he is my restorer, he is my redeemer, when I find out something and he makes a promise regarding who he is, that promise is what I use to come back. Take, for instance, 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is promised, faithful, and just, he forgives our sins. That's his character, that's his promise. So when I'm in sin, I have a promise that I claim to come back to him. I then find a promise, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he guides me to stay in the right path. So yes, something special about the character of God he shows me. Number two, P, promise to claim. Letter E, example to follow. Example to follow. This would be like the instruction in righteousness. You know, sometimes you just need someone to show you. When my wife began making bread, you know, the things that the cookbook said did not mirror, in our mind, as we watched, looked at the book, watched what she was doing, was not the same thing my mom was doing. But when you take someone else to show you and you make your hands do what their hands are doing, it clicks. It makes sense. Sometimes gardening is that way. I don't know much about this business. Sometimes just having somebody next to you to say, hey, you just trimmed this right here. You see this little piece right here? You can just pull that. What? You can't pull. Yeah, yeah, just pull that little piece off there. That's a useless part. It's going to drain the plant. That little shoot is going to drain the plant of all its energy. Just pull that off. Well, I wouldn't have known that. But somebody right there with you helps you to stay on the right path. So an example to follow is like an instruction in righteousness. The book of Hebrews is a great one, Hebrews chapter 11, where you find the hall of faith. All these men and women walked and trusted God, and God blessed them. So you're reading the Bible, and you find a person like David, maybe, when he trusted God, or you find a person like Samuel as he trusted God, and you say, you know what? If they trusted God, and God worked for them, I could trust God, and God would work for me and keep me on that right path. An example to follow. A command to obey. S, special revelation about God. P, promise to claim. E, example to follow. C, a command to obey. Here's the doctrine. Here's the teaching. When God says do, I need to write that down. And then I'm going to know what to do, and I'll also know if I'm not obeying, won't I? If God says do this, and I look over at my life, and I go, you know, that's what God said, but though that's not in my life, then now I know, not only do I know the teaching, but pretty soon I'm going to feel the reproving. Because God is going to say, listen, by his Spirit, you now know what is true. What is true is not in your life, so now I'm going to correct you. You can't feel the correct or the reproving, the conviction of God, unless you know what is right. And he will show you through his commands what is right. As you look back at your life, it will convict you that you are not there. Special revelation about God, promise to claim, example to follow, command to obey, and then letter S, sin to avoid. Sin to avoid. This is where we are looking for God to reprove us. Ask God. Say, God, I'm just sure, because I'm human, that there is something in my life that you're not pleased with. So would you show me as I read your word? Reprove me. Show me. Teach me. Wouldn't we be so much better ready to receive it if we would ask him to do it? If we came to God and said, God, where am I? Now, how many people, if they went to work, all right, and they're at work and they're working as hard as they can, doing the job that's been given, and somebody comes up and says, hey, you're not doing that right. A little bristle. You know, the hairs just kind of stand up, from telling me I'm not doing it right. But if you went into work and as you got far away through the day, you stopped, found the manager and said, hey, could you tell me if there's anything I can do to make this better? Now, wouldn't you receive it a little bit better having asked for it? Now, God doesn't say we only take it when we ask for it, but what I'm saying is go into the Word of God praying and say, God, I know some of what you want to do in here is to correct me and reprove me, so do it. I'm listening. I'm your servant. Show me. Now, how many of you like to be encouraged when you read God's Word? We like to read... I want God to tell me I'm doing all right. But that's only scratching the surface of all of what God wants us to do. I love reading the Psalms when I'm discouraged, because I watch what God did in David's life and I get encouraged about what God can do in my life. But part of what God wants to do in that process is teach me how to trust Him. He wants to doctrine. He wants to teach me. But if all I ever do is come into the Word of God to find encouragement, and I don't find the commands, I don't find the reproving, I don't find the correction, I don't find the instruction in righteousness, I will never be fully equipped to serve God. The Word of God will show you how to get rid of sin in your life. You know that, don't you? If we can't get rid of it, then we probably haven't studied or haven't applied what God said. And I don't say that from a position of one who's taken care of everything in my life and I have nothing left to work on. I'm still sinful just as everybody else. But I tell you, if we are failing to get victory, Jesus Christ doesn't fail to get victory. If we're failing to get victory, there's something more we need to find or something more we need to trust. The Bible says to meditate. To study, to give a diligent effort. If we're serious about following God, we need to get serious about knowing His Word. We can say that we're a church of the book, or we're a people of the book, but that's not true unless we are a people that study to better know it and understand it. I hope this morning, if you are one studying God's Word, that you're encouraged to just keep at it, because that's what's going to get you where God wants you to be. If you haven't been studying, maybe you've slipped recently or in the last couple of years, can I just encourage you to get back at it? Just carve out some time, make the effort, and start looking for what God says is there that will prepare you for His service.